This episode contains adult themes and is not appropriate for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, the world. This is They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I'm Sadie Eck.
And I am Courtney Eck.
And I'm hoping Courtney's doing an episode about the James Webb telescope images.
I know. Let's talk about more. Whoa. See, it's so overwhelming. It makes me feel so insignificant.
You can't
that
even
I
speak.
Yeah, I've lost my ability to speak. We will talk about that more at the end, but I'm not. This is not a James Webb related episode, but it is a good one. And it is the disappearance and murder of Helen Bailey.
Tell me everything, please.
I will. So Helen Bailey was born on August 22nd, 1962. I don't know how to say this town, but I want to say it anyway. Pontyland, near Newcastle upon Tyne.
What are those words?
I don't know, but they're adorable. Near Newcastle, I think. I saw Newcastle a lot when I was learning about her, but I put the full rundown. Pontyland, near Newcastle upon Tyne. She also, I don't know if I've ever related more to a victim, and so the fact that she's from Pontyland near Newcastle upon Tyne, it just like sets her up, because her whole life, she's just this incredible human being. So she later wrote about her high school experience and said, quote, "Whilst at school, I used to sit and stare out of the window, dreaming of anything but lessons, then go home and write pages and pages in my diary of who did what and to whom, and usually why I wasn't part of it." Same Helen Bailey,
same. Oh.
So after high school, she pursued a physiology degree with the intention of becoming a forensic scientist, then did her postgraduate research at a teaching hospital where she worked with vomiting ferrets, which I don't get any other information about why the ferrets were vomiting, but that's where she worked. And she chose, quote, her postgraduate choice of employment on the fact that the hospital's canteen had an extensive menu and wearing a white lab coat to work made her feel important.
Oh, my God. She is our sister.
Right?
Wow.
She went on to say, it wasn't long before NHS catering lost its allure. The pristine white coat was drenched in ferret musk and worse. And she realized she was more comfortable in a wine bar and wrap dress than wrestling with rodents.
Wow.
I know. Helen Bailey fucking rules.
God, it happens so often that I forget what we're here to talk about, and that makes me really, really sad.
Yep. And you just fall deeply in love with these people.
Yes.
Well, check this out. So then Helen decided to work in marketing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why not? When you're somebody like Helen, you can do those things.
She's like, yeah, forensic science was cool, but I think my skills are bigger than that. So she worked on campaigns for feature films and cartoon characters like Garfield and Rugrats and The Simpsons.
So this is like the 90s?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Okay. She married her first husband, John Sinfield, in 1996. And after a couple of years, she was like, oh, what if I was to become a super beloved author of young adult fiction? And she did.
Oh, my God.
She worked on huge marketing campaigns for very well-known TV shows and movies by day, and by night, she wrote 22 books.
I can barely pull off a murder story a week. Like, what?
Yeah. She's and anybody who works, anybody who works in marketing or advertising knows that that is like a 24-hour day job.
Yes.
When you get hired by those firms, especially in the 90s when cocaine was still such a huge thing, I mean, not that it's not, but you know, like a really, really huge thing, they would be like, I've had friends who interviewed at like Wieden & Kennedy, and they were like, if you are flying to your mother's house for Christmas and we need you to get off the plane, you will get off the plane. Yep. Like that is the expectation. So the fact that she was also able to write her young adult Electra Brown series is incredible.
It's incredible.
She also wrote books for younger children, including the Willow the Wood Sprite series, the Topaz series, and the Felicity Wishes series. Aww. Helen and her husband John were together for 15 years, And then tragically, in February of 2011, the two were on vacation together in Barbados because they both were workaholics. And she was like, let's take a vacation. Mm-hmm. We're burnt out. So John went out for a swim and he drowned in front of her. Yes. Yep.
Oh, God.
The once extremely prolific writer said she found herself frozen and with nothing to say for the first time in her life, and was also struggling with how strange mundane tasks like taking the trash to the curb or going to a party alone felt to her.
Like, yeah, how do you, you just don't, like,
No. No. Like, no. That's the shit that keeps me up at night. It's my scariest thing. As a result, Helen started a blog called Planet Grief 4 months after Jim's death to get writing again, as well as process her grief and trauma. And on Planet Grief, she wrote, quote, on the 27th February 2011, whilst on holiday in Barbados, my husband got off his sun lounger, adjusted his glasses, and headed into sea for a swim. Moments later, I heard him call for help and watched helplessly from the beach as he was pulled out to sea by a riptide.
No.
He drowned. Bizarrely, after he died, the first thing I said was, but I'm wearing a bikini.
Oh my God.
As if bad things can't happen when you're wearing a good bikini. But they can, and it did. At the age of 46, I crash-landed on Planet Grief, a place where nothing, not even my own reflection in the mirror, felt familiar.
Oh my God. Chills.
I know. Planet Grief started out as a way for Helen to channel the overwhelming circumstances of her life, and it snowballed into a place where tens of thousands of people went to find solace, share stories, and help each other navigate the experience of losing a loved one. Based on the success of the blog, Helen wrote her first book for adults called When Bad Things Happen in Good Bikinis. And the I know, makes me want to cry. It's so, she's the best. And The Guardian called her book a, quote, painful and companionable account of coming to terms with life without her husband. She, like, you can, there's tons of video of her. She did tons of interviews, you know, she, this made her even more famous, but she's so darling. She's like on her blog making a video and she's like, this is my first attempt at this, and I watched lots of YouTubes, and the first one I found was this excruciatingly gorgeous 15-year-old who kept flipping her hair. She's just so, she's such a buoyant person, you know, to just continue to have a good sense of humor and this, like, huge life despite, like, massive loss is, I don't know. It's very inspiring. So then in October of 2011, Helen met a software engineer named Ian Stewart on an online forum for widows and widowers, and Ian said he lost his first wife to an epileptic seizure and was parenting two sons on his own. The two struck up a friendship that developed into a romantic relationship over time, and Helen referred to Ian as her, quote, gorgeous gray-haired widower. The two eventually got engaged, and 5 years after they met, Helen and Ian moved to an area around 2 hours outside of London. So on April 11th, 2016, 51-year-old Helen took her beloved dachshund Boris out for a walk around 2:45 p.m.
She has a dachshund named Boris?
Yes, of course she does. Of course she does. Yes.
This is a heartbreak episode.
It's such a heartbreak episode. So neighbors reported that they saw her leave with him around 2:45 p.m. 4 days later, Helen's fiancé Ian called police and informed them that Helen had never returned from that walk.
Don't like it, Ian.
He claimed he'd woken up from a nap to an empty house, but found a note from Helen saying she'd gone to their vacation home in Broadstairs, needed some time alone, and didn't want to be contacted in any way. Mm-hmm. No one's ever said that.
No.
Like,
no. They only say that when you're making up a story because you killed them.
Yes. Yeah. Or they say that because they do want to be contacted. I'm one of those people who's like, leave me alone because I want you to come and get me. Mm-hmm. You know? Nobody ever wants to not be contacted in any way unless you're a stalker. Ian told police that he'd been in contact with the people near the cottage and that there was no sign of her. And so he wanted to see if police could check on her. I mean, some people do want to be left alone, but you know what I'm saying. Like, right, this scenario is not that scenario.
No.
One odd detail about the 999 call was that Ian took another call from a friend while he was reporting his fiance missing after not having seen or heard from her for 4 days.
No, that's normal.
Right? He's like, oh, do you mind? One moment. And he's like, yeah, nope, just on with the police. Yep, still haven't seen any sign of her. Okay, ring you back later. Like, what, dude? You could have fucking, that could have waited. So police went to the cottage to check on Helen, but there wasn't any sign of her at all, which friends and loved ones said was very odd. They said that the whole scenario was so strange and very out of character for Helen, as she wouldn't just disappear and leave a cryptic note.
I was going to say, it's one thing to need space from your partner. It's a whole other thing to just not if she was having trouble in her marriage, she would be hanging out with her friends or her family or whoever, right?
Right.
She was gregarious and...
And she would have talked to him about it. Like, right. She shares her innermost everything with tens of thousands of people. Mm-hmm. She's not going to not have a, like, sit down and have a conversation with you and be like, listen, I need a little space. This is what I'm going through. I'll see you in, 3 days or whatever. She wouldn't wait for you to fall asleep in the middle of the afternoon and then, like, sneak out of the house. No. That's fucking weird. She's a grown woman. She's 51 years old.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Give me a break. So her family wondered if maybe she'd just been reacting to the 5-year anniversary of John's death that had just passed and thought that maybe she'd been feeling depressed and needed some space. But again, it wasn't like her to leave without communicating. Police held a press conference asking anyone who knew anything about Helen's whereabouts to please come forward and give them any information they could provide. And they also did extensive searches of the surrounding area, as well as hundreds of hours of CCTV footage for any sign of Helen or her puppy, Boris. Not only was Helen not spotted on CCTV footage, there was no evidence that she'd used her cell phone, credit cards, or bank cards in the days that she'd been missing, and it was as if she'd set out to walk her dog and simply vanished. Authorities searched their home and questioned Ian several times, who claimed he couldn't remember much about the day she went missing and didn't give them a straight answer about his whereabouts or details of that day. He said he remembered that he and Helen had loaded his car with some things to bring to the dump, then Helen worked in her office for a while and Ian napped while she worked. He said that Helen left for a bit to get milk or something from the store and came back as quickly as she'd left, saying she was never going to drive again because something had upset her.
Oh, okay.
He says he doesn't remember much from the rest of the afternoon, but he does remember waking up in his chair in his office and was pretty sure he saw Helen wave goodbye to him. But when he thinks about it, he's not sure. So, quote, maybe she did, maybe she didn't.
Okay, so
you... I watched...
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I watched the interview, and that is exactly what he said. Like, he's just like, and then she popped out, and then she came back as soon as she left, and she's just very upset. She said, I'm never driving again. And then I think I fell asleep, and like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
Right, you've got days. He's taken days to call the police to come up with a story, and he can't manage to do that either.
Right, to put together some sort of believable accounting of the day. And if you wake up and your spouse is missing, you certainly remember
the day.
Like, yes.
Well, if she's saying things like, I'm not going to ever drive again. And, you know, it's not been months, right?
No, at this point, it's been like 5 days.
Right. Yeah. Like, even me with not the best memory, I can pretty much recall what happened 5 days ago. Step by step.
Yes, especially if I woke up. Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Even if I wasn't initially super concerned, I would remember what had gone on that day. I would have actively been engaged in figuring out what happened to my spouse.
Yes.
So he said he can't remember what he did next and that maybe he went to the doctor or maybe he went to the dump, but maybe he went to the dump the next day.
What is happening?
I know. Despite being basically useless in his recollection of events for the day, Ian did participate in searches for Helen and paid to have flyers printed and distributed and was, for all intents and purposes, the frantic, distraught fiancé of a missing person. So then 3 months to the day that Helen went missing, a local man was arrested on suspicion of murder and unlawful disposal of a body and was released on bail while the investigation continued. 4 days later, however, police learned from a neighbor that there was a second cesspit for a septic system under Helen and Ian's garage and decided they should probably peek in there to confirm it hadn't been used as a burial plot for the beloved author and her dog. But very unfortunately, it had.
No.
Police looked into the septic tank and saw a human arm protruding from the cesspit under the garage.
Bummer.
Authorities had searched the house twice, but Ian's car had been parked over the entrance to the pit, so it wasn't apparent that it existed, and police might have never found it if the neighbor had not tipped them off.
Bummer. So can we back up a minute? So the person who was arrested, that's the same person? It was Ian?
No, some random other guy. He was totally cleared. Yeah, oh. He was innocent. Sorry. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Sorry. I realized I didn't clarify that. Yeah. So this other guy gets arrested
for her murder.
For her murder. There's no details about him. There's no name. Because he's fucking innocent.
Right.
But yeah, he got arrested. They released him on bail. And then 4 days later, they're like, psych, you are totally free to go, sir. Your charges have been dropped because she was under the garage.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. I was like, was there another murder? Okay. That makes sense.
No, sorry. Sorry. Okay. Yes, that was not clarified. So when they searched the tank, they found the remains of a woman and a small dog, which were identified as Helen Bailey and her dog, Boris.
I mean, not to diminish her passing, but when you're willing to also kill her beloved dog, like...
I know.
Special place for you, sir.
Yep. Yep. No, absolutely no reason to kill that dog or that woman.
No.
I couldn't sleep last night. And of course, like, my brain immediately went to the police officer who had to search that fucking septic tank. And I'm going to say a little special prayer for that person because that is
horrifying.
There are people that have to do those jobs, and that is fucking terrible.
Yeah, I think about that with the Watts case a lot. The poor people who had to go in the oil tank.
Like, oh my god. Yep. So the next day, Ian Stewart was arrested and charged with Helen's murder and perverting the course of justice and preventing a lawful burial. Police were able to determine that Ian traveled to Broadstairs with Helen's phone the day after he reported her missing, so would have known that she wasn't where she said she was going to be if he'd really thought she was alive. And also would know she didn't have her phone on her because he had it. He'd accidentally connected her phone to the home's Wi-Fi while he was there.
Oh my God.
And so they were able to ping the phone off of the local tower.
What a bozo.
Well, check this out. This guy's the bozoist. He just set his own self up to get caught so hard. He also transferred £4,000 from Helen's personal account and into their joint account the day she went missing. And previous to that, Helen had routinely only transferred £400 into that account. So the day after she went missing, he changed the number from 400 to 4,000.
What?
Yeah.
Jerk. Like, come on. Yes. Man.
Yeah. And so by the time they figured it out, there had been £12,000 transferred into their mutual account. Ian also stood to benefit financially from Helen's death, as he was the beneficiary of her £3.5 million estate, not to mention her sizable life insurance policy.
Motherfucker.
Also, when I think about these kinds of cases, I'm like, why wouldn't you just continue to let her take care of you?
Seriously, she's going to make so much money alive.
Yeah.
And just hang out and have a good life with Boris the dog and, like, chill out.
Yeah. And we also know that she was probably doing the lion's share of everything.
Yes.
You know, she's this dynamic, vivacious, driven, fucking energetic individual. You know, she could fucking cook and do a million other 100%. Things that make your life better, right?
Mm-hmm.
God, people are so crazy in their stupidity. So Ian pled not guilty to the charges, and his trial started 3 months later. At trial, it was revealed that Ian had been drugging Helen for months with sleeping pills. And when he was ready and thought she was sufficiently sedated, he suffocated her to death. God. Helen had reported to her mother before her death that she felt like she had been sleeping too much and wasn't sure why. Mm. A very disturbing detail of this case is that authorities aren't 100% sure she actually died from his attempt to suffocate her and that she still could have been alive when he dumped her in the septic tank.
Lord.
Another gruesome detail is that Helen once remarked in front of her brother and Ian that the cesspit under the garage would be an amazing place to hide a dead body.
Oh, no.
In another mark against Ian, he tried twice to use his power of attorney to sell an apartment that Helen owned, and one of those attempts was made on the exact day that she went missing.
Oh my God, dude.
Like, how many times do we have to say it? You gotta wait. You gotta wait a long time. Yes. Minimum 6 months.
Minimum, like, even then.
But even then, obviously, he was, I don't know if he was in financial trouble, but I'm sure he was, or he, there was something he wanted this money for, like, right now, mm-hmm. which is always the case, right? You're not pre-planning to be in financial emergency, you know, right. 6 months down the road.
Well, right? he also didn't do any thought. Like, there was no thought, like, forethought of what, if I do this, then this is how it's going to look.
Right.
Right. So he didn't care. He was like, she's out of the way. I might as well go ahead and take care of this business or whatever. Like,
yep.
Too busy. That's why he couldn't come up with a good story of what happened that day. He was too busy dealing with her finances.
Selling off her assets. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Luckily. And the fact that he was poisoning her for months. So he was planning right. this for a really long yes. time.
He had plenty of
and
time.
And over that amount of time. Right.
Come up with a very solid plan.
Yep. Yep, but he didn't. He came up with the opposite of that. Thank God. Again. Yeah. Oh, I wrote something down the other, like, we all know, stay sexy, don't get murdered. Oh, stay stupid, please get caught, is what I wrote down the other day. Stay stupid, please get caught.
That's and very funny.
Stuart did.
Yes.
Yes. He Good. Stayed stupid and he got caught. So people who knew Ian also reported that he was just a penny-pinching dickhead.
Was that their words or yours?
Yes. He was openly cheap and was the only person in his office who refused to pitch in for gifts on birthdays and other important God, occasions, which says a lot about the guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was a... computer engineer. Like, he, you know, I'm sure he made plenty of money, and just to be that guy, he's like, no, I would really rather not, thank you.
We all know.
Oh,
those.
Diana just had a baby. Yeah, no. I'm not interested, thanks. Yeah, that's that's the polar opposite of me. That is my direct opposite personality.
100% your direct opposite. Yes,
right. An engineer who won't pitch in for presents.
No, you're the type nope. that's like, I'm just going to pay for everything all the time and don't yeah. worry about it. I'll just yeah. cover it.
Yeah. What's the point of having money if you don't fucking share it?
Yeah.
So even though the evidence against Ian was pretty overwhelming, he managed to come up with a super sick defense. Sometimes I surprise myself after the fact with things.
It wasn't a quote from his defense lawyers.
We got the super sick defense, you guys. Check this out. So Ian claimed that two men named Nick and Joe, he named them,
good,
had kidnapped Helen and the dog and demanded a £680,000 ransom. And he never mentioned it to the police before because he was trying to keep Helen safe.
Oh my God. I'm going to yeah. stab this guy. Like, what? Nick and Joe?
Well, they and also his themselves? Neighbors. His neighbor's name was Nick and his best friend's name was Joe. And oh my so God. The police were like, yeah, there's two guys named Lamp and
Carpet.
Chair.
Dude. What is wrong with people?
Richard Glass.
Yep, right.
So the defense claimed that Ian had clearly taken... Oh, the prosecution. So the prosecution claimed that Ian had clearly taken advantage of a very vulnerable and recently bereaved woman and had manipulated her through love bombing to get what he wanted from her, which was clearly her money and companionship. After a 7-week trial in February of 2017, Ian was found guilty of Helen's murder after just one day of deliberation. He was sentenced to life in prison with a minimum of 34 years. Good. But the story doesn't end there.
Mm-hmm.
Once Ian was convicted of Helen's murder, police decided to take a little peek-see into his past and revisit his first wife's death.
That was going to be my next question.
She had died under mysterious circumstances. Ian's first wife, Diane, did suffer from epilepsy and had seizures her entire life. She was found dead in the garden near her home in 2010, and at the time it was ruled that she had indeed died from one of her epileptic seizures. Her family was skeptical of the ruling at the time, and rightfully so. A paramedic who was the first on the scene after Ian called the police said that Ian showed no signs of panic, that his wife was unconscious in their backyard, and there were no signs that he had tried to administer CPR, despite Ian claiming that he had.
Mm-hmm.
He said, quote, "Generally, effective CPR causes trauma. You crush the ribs, they pop, they snap, the airway is normally open. Not everyone knows how to do it, but that's what you normally see if effective CPR is commenced."
That's what Ian said?
That's what the paramedic
said. Oh, I thought he was saying I didn't do it because I was going to create too much trauma. And I was like, no.
Sorry. Okay.
It's just
very apparent.
Obvious when people try. Yes.
Very obvious. Yep. He also said that he saw bloodstained saliva near Diane Stewart's mouth, and if had he done effective mouth-to-mouth, it would have been everywhere, apparently. All over the place.
Yes. Yep.
So, authorities ran tests on Diane Stewart's tissue and brain and determined that she had died from being suffocated for up to an hour.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, in February of 2022, he was retried and sentenced for the murder of his first wife as well, and was given a full life sentence with no possibility of parole.
Good. That is hard to come by in the UK.
You have to be a super monster person. You are the worst kind of person to go to prison for life.
Yes.
Forever.
Good. I'm so sorry for her. They had kids together, right? They had two kids?
Yeah. Yes. Two sons. No mention of the sons, but yeah. That's it, you guys. That is the story of the despicable human being that is Ian Stewart and
the bright, beautiful
light that is Helen Bailey. And I'm sure also Diane Stewart, though there isn't very much written about her because that was a recent development.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, what a piece of shit. Seriously, an absolute piece of shit.
Hey, guess what? People are not objects that you can just do away with for your own bidding. This is not okay.
I will never be able to wrap my mind around. You come to a point in your life and you can just like walk away and do something else or kill a human being that you have spent a good majority of your life with and like fathered children with and made decisions and it is unfathomable.
Yes.
How does that happen? Where does that come from?
Yeah, complete lack of empathy, clearly, to start. Number one, no empathy. But like how?
Yeah.
As someone that is just all I think about is the comfort of other people.
Yes.
I just can't, it doesn't register in my brain how that's possible.
Yeah, yeah. Worst case scenario, I feel ambivalent. Like that's about the extent of my feelings toward other people. Occasionally I feel a little angry or, you know, like resentful, but generally I'm just like, I don't like you, but I don't really feel that much about it.
Right.
You know, I just want you to not be around me.
Right.
But no, it's crazy.
And for him to like be done with his wife, his first wife, and then immediately be getting on grief websites and targeting women who are vulnerable and like immediately jumping back in to figure out who else you can murder for money.
Yep. Yep. I think if you have that sort of a personality disorder, untreated, you know, the worst case of the personality disorder where it's a game, you know, that's the only explanation. And she, you know, was probably very interesting to him for 5 years. She's a brilliant woman. She's dynamic. She's super successful. She's got tons of money. I'm sure that was really fun. And then when it wasn't fun anymore,
it was done.
It was on to the next. Yep. Yep. And I'm sure there's a certain amount of, I mean, we know this. We know there's a certain amount of a thrill in getting away with it and being able to pull something like that off, having power over other people, feeling smarter than the police and the loved ones and the family members. I mean, it's like, ugh. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've said this a million times, but I have more understanding. I can have a much deeper understanding than people who were like, and maybe he was traumatized into becoming this person. But it's, you know, when you learn about serial killers and people who were, you're like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, I get it. Mm-hmm. I understand why your brain broke. But mm-hmm. then there's people like him where you're like, that's so spooky. Mm-hmm. Did you just come out that way? You know, mm-hmm. where does that come from?
Yeah, I always think about that asshole who was good with his pond or whatever his parents said. Like, he had this perfect life and just was broken. And
those people. Yeah.
But of course, his parents probably coddled him too much or something. Who knows? But
right. Yeah. But I want to know. I will never not want to know. I will just dying to know. But we probably never will, because you know what? We are looking back into the beginning of time now, guys. Yes. We are officially looking back into the beginning of time. Dude. That's how my brain feels when I think about what that means.
Right. Who out there has seen the James Webb first picture of 14 billion years ago?
Yeah, 13. But we're going to get back to 13 and a half. And our planet is 13.8. So we can't quite get back to the very beginning of time. But pretty fucking close. Point three is away from the very beginning of time.
Yes.
0.3 light years away from the beginning of time. We are looking at that. I don't understand. I read the Neil deGrasse Tyson caption on Instagram to Laura yesterday, and he was like, you know, you sent the TikTok about how it's like the gravitational pull of the galaxy cluster is like warping the image so that it looks, you know, round and stuff. And I read it out loud to Laura, and she said, I'm going to need you to stop talking about that right now.
Yeah, well, you get so far back that it's when the universe was being born, and so there is an immense gravitational pull that pulls the galaxies out of shape, and we can see that because of the way that light travels. It's so crazy.
So crazy.
It's blowing my mind. I cannot wait to see what else that stupid telescope comes up with.
I did read that James Webb was very anti-LGBTQIA, so fuck that guy. But, bad name, but cool-ass telescope.
Yes.
I'm in it for the telescope, but I did want to share that little tidbit of knowledge.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, my college girlfriend is married to an astrophysicist, and I follow her on Instagram, and so she keeps me hip to the physicisms.
Well, let's call it, like, what else? What should we name it instead? The LGBTQIA telescope?
Yep. The Dolly Parton telescope.
Oh, it should totally be the Dolly Parton telescope.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does seem very well timed, though, that we're looking back to the beginning of time and like being confronted with our insignificance and the vastness of the universe at this exact moment. Mm-hmm. It feels very timely and weirdly comforting to me.
Yep.
The infinite possibilities that surround us and, so just a reminder that you can believe in anything you want, because you literally can. Yes. Anything is possible. Literally anything is possible. Yes. And it's all happening. And it is all happening.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, there's just no way that with a universe as large as it is that we don't exist somewhere else. Or, you know, like it just is so massive. We can't even begin to imagine what is out there. You know, it's so cool.
It's cool.
Very exciting.
I know. Although that live stream was the fucking
no.
What a dud of a live stream.
I know. We gathered the boys around. I don't know if anybody else saw it, but you know, Ryan is just loves stuff like that. Loves space. Yes. Loves, you know, all of it. Always has. And so Courtney and I were actually on the phone together when he came in and was like, it's happening. And I was like, okay, gotta go. And we get on YouTube and it's literally.
When I texted James and I was like, you know, this is happening. He's like, yeah, me and my friends are watching it on the group chat. Like, it,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. I gathered the boys around. We had it on the laptop and it was the president Vice president sitting in these, like, this weird office.
Weird room. Like stage.
Yeah, they're kind of social distanced, and there's three people on the screen, and then the image popped up, but it was so grainy and hard to see that I was like, oh.
It was a, like, zoomed out image of a zoomed out image. Yeah. It was so weird. It was
so weird. And President Biden was like, there's possibilities. And I was like, oh my God, this is... If this, like, I will always be grateful that President Biden has kept us away from another 4 years of Trump. But it was like,
yeah,
was what a way to make this amazing thing really feel boring.
Yeah. And then it just sort of cut out, like the audio cut out. And then they were like, the end of live stream. It's like 7 minutes long.
Like, the technology that we have available to us in this country, and that's really how, like, who decided that?
I mean,
that?
It's a live stream of an image of the beginning of time.
Yeah.
It's like the shittiest live stream possible ever, with the shittiest technology.
Right.
Like, couldn't you have taken a little bit of the James Webb technology and, like...
Or, like, put the lights down in the room?
Yeah, some sparklers or something.
Or, like,
some
get a huge projector, like, do it on an IMAX screen. Or, like, we have things available to us, people. But no, we're going to sit in a cubicle and...
It was so weird.
Very weird. Yeah.
Anyway, can't win them all, I guess.
I know. And then I had to, like, take a minute and process that and then go back and look, like, find better images and be like, all right, this is really cool.
Yeah, totally. Neil deGrasse Tyson and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, thank you for breaking down the magnificence of what it is we're looking at.
They didn't even explain it. They were like, this is a grain of sand in the sky. Goodbye.
Exactly. If you hold out a grain of sand, then you're holding a grain of sand. End of live stream. What?
No explanation of what exactly we're looking at.
Nope.
Oh my God. Gosh.
Well, then moving on to name time.
Yeah, I think it's great. Let's do it.
It's name time. So, small but mighty list again this week, you guys.
I have seen some of these come through. I really try to avoid it, but sometimes I can't. And multiple of these made me LOL. Like all of them. Yeah.
Small but mighty. Chocoloco Road in Calhoun County. Yummy.
Chocoloco.
I'm Chocoloco. Yeah, I'm loco for choco.
Is that like chocolate that makes you choke, but it's crazy?
No, it makes you crazy. Yep. Oh, Maria Elvira Pinto Exposito. She was an Australian grandmother who used a dating website and met the man of her dreams.
Wow. That's so cute.
Yeah, Maria Elvira Pinto Exposito. Exposito. Sorry. Sorry, Maria Elvira Pinto Exposito. Dr. Wet Farts. WHETFAARTZ.
What? Do we know for sure that one's real, right?
Is it real? That's for you to find out, guys. Dr. Wet Farts.
Hey, anything is possible. Anything is possible.
Yes, there. So yes, Dr. Wet Farts does exist in some in some universe. It's just like everything everywhere at all times when she has the hot dog hand.
Yes.
Dimension. Dr. Wet Farts lives in the hot dog land dimension. Alice Salas. And I'll never get over the rhyming names ever.
No. Alice Salas.
Alice Salas. Those are two individually great words too. Somebody was watching When Sharks Attack on Disney Plus and saw Dr. Mark Marks.
He's probably part of the Shark Authority, right?
Oh my God, you're so right. Dr. Mark Marks might be the head of the Shark Authority.
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
Yes.
Dr. Mark Marks rules.
Yes. Was that a good Patreon point. Episode? Might have been.
No, I think that was main feed. I'm pretty sure. You guys hip to the Shark Authority? Yes, because it was... Thought she was shark attacked. Probably wasn't shark attacked. I'm pretty sure it was
Might main have feed. Been a Patreon. Anyway. Go look it up, guys. You tell us. Yeah, go. Not our problem.
Stop bothering us about the Shark Authority, you guys. If you want to learn about it, go to figure sign up for Patreon.
Or don't. We don't really know.
Speaking of which, big announcement. Oh, yeah. Big, huge announcement. We'll get to shouty outies, but before that, this little baby podcast is about to grow up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I just quoted Swingers. So sorry, everyone.
It happens.
I'm so sorry.
Happens to the best of us.
Acting like it's 1997. No, we got approached by a network, and we're going to join a podcast network, and they are lovely people.
Yes.
And of the 50 bazillion corporate style calls I've ever been on in my life, this was one of like three where I had a good feeling, like a really good feeling. And then we reached out to other podcasts in their network, which they have amazing podcasts in their network, like Murder with My Husband, Murder-ish.
Sinisterhood.
Yeah, lots of goodies over there. And the response from other podcasts in this network were overwhelmingly positive, professionally and personally. So we did it, you guys. We signed the contract, and that does mean we will start to have ads in the coming months.
Yep.
Which is something that we feel very mixed about, of course, because we are weirdos that have imposter syndrome, but
I mean, it comes down to that we want to continue to do this, and we have to grow and make money to be sustainable. And it really is coming down to the wire for my family.
Yeah.
That if we didn't start making a little bit more money, that I wouldn't be able to continue to do it. So,
And on my end, it's, you know, you reach a point because every episode, I would say, takes an average of 8 to 12 hours. Mm-hmm. And so doing two of those a week, it really becomes the reality is that you literally have no free time.
Yes.
Like for 2.5 years, we have, this is what we have done mm-hmm. all the time. And so I need to start to phase out something mm-hmm. To do this for the rest of my life.
Right.
So you guys could be stuck with us. Yeah, we're very excited about it. And they're not interested in changing us. They're not interested in not making us who we are. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you'll feel a lot of change. There will be some ads in the coming months, like I said. But other than that, we've been approached by a lot of different networks, and we have just completely ignored their emails because, you know, we don't want to become weird corporate something we're not. And so this is an opportunity to make a little money mm-hmm. while maintaining the integrity of this podcast that you all have supported for all this time. So thank you for that. And we did discuss it, and we will, once we're having ads in our episodes, we will add a $1 Patreon option that will just be the main feed episodes without ads.
Yep.
So you won't get bonus content if you sign up for that $1, but it will give you an ad-free RSS feed so you can listen to us, continue to listen to us without ads.
Yeah, so we're really, really excited. It feels like perfect timing, a good fit.
Yes, extremely excited.
Yep. So we are now officially with Cloud 10 and iHeartRadio.
Woohoo!
I was saying to Courtney before we started recording that I haven't been hesitant because of them at all. I realize that it's because I feel like somebody's going to figure out that we're really like that we're imposters. even though we've done this and we have started it on our own from the beginning without any idea of what we're doing and have really grown it very well, that somebody's gonna now look at us and be like, oh wait, no, they're not actually podcasters or whatever we are
by this whole time.
And then they're gonna fire us. I don't know what would happen, but anyway.
somebody
to answer to other than my sister.
totally Well, and like going back and sort of looking at what we've done and she was like, do you mind if we, you know, use this professional artist that we use to update your artwork slightly? And I was like, LOL, the artwork that I like auto-generated on some weird online, you know, logo maker for like crafters, basically. I was like, oh, look, they have a cricket scary section. Yeah. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
I do love the creep, but yes, I would be okay with you updating that. Because when we started this thing, you know, it's just like, yeah, great. This seems, yeah, there's a logo. That's all you, woo.
Yeah. You know? Well, and we really just, we did it as cheaply as we could, because we didn't really know if this would turn into anything. Yep. And here we are. And it really has turned into something. So it's very exciting.
Yeah. It's going to make me cry, because you guys...
Well, if you cry, then I'm going to cry, so...
I know, but they really did it for us, so thank you guys.
Yeah, like, you can't really understand how it feels unless you've done it, when you put yourself out there in such a vulnerable way. Yep. It's going to go one of two ways. People are going to love you or hate you, and we had to pick a lot of bones with ourselves. Like, are we willing to do this and be totally rejected by the world?
Yeah,
let's see what happens. If we don't like it, we'll quit. And instead, it has just been a mirror. Now I'm going to cry, but it's been a complete mirror of what we hope to, who we are and what we want to give out to the world. You have given right back to us. And it makes us both understand that we make a difference, and that we can help people, and we can reach out, and like all of the things that are important are there, and it's true, and you love us and we love you.
Yeah. Right? Some of you hate us and we push you the fuck off. So
that's okay. There's that too.
Yeah, it's totally okay. But I'm just so proud of you guys and so grateful for you. I cannot begin to tell you.
Yeah. I mean, it's been
an incredible community that you are, and incredible support, and now you're going to like make this our career potentially, and that's crazy. That is crazy.
It really is.
And I've said it a million times, if there's something you're thinking about doing, fucking do it. Mm-hmm. And if there's any way we can help you do it, we will. Yeah. And we have, and we will continue. Are happy to send you a letter of support. Give you advice, whatever.
I think that it was sort of that, you know, talking about starting to do ads and realizing that the more money we make, the more we can give back. Exactly. And that's really exciting. That potential is really exciting.
Because currently our Patreon, which is incredibly supportive, and we'll get to Shouty Audies in just a moment, goes to running the show, you know, show expenses, and then most of the rest of it gets given away. Mm-hmm. So, this will be, then we'll be able to give away money and also
support our lives. Thank you guys for so much. We're gonna try to make the ads interesting and not overwhelming, but just understand that this is how we keep going.
Exactly. I think I'm already like, when I can't sleep at night, thinking of how to turn the ads into like additional shouty ads.
You want your name incorporated in the ad somehow, let us know. We will. Our friend Maria really loves Alice Salsas. What was her name?
Alice Salas. I was talking to my buddy Alice Salas last week. HelloFresh got named, and I don't know if you guys remember from the early days. That was the goal.
Yep, and like, here it comes.
Real close to the goal. Yep. They're like, HelloFresh. I was like, yes.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Yes. Yep. So. Anyway, enough about ads, enough about that, but thank you tremendously for your support. And then thank you, some of you, for your additional support through Patreon.
You guys have just been coming out of the woodwork.
Yep, big time. And our Patreon will remain the same. They don't have anything to do with that. That's going to be the same. So those of you who are on there, those of you who want to jump over there, jump on over. We do offer free Patreon for those of you who cannot afford it. We are always happy to sponsor people to get that content. Just let us
know. There's been a few people that have reached out and asked, and we've said yes, and then I don't know if it's been completed. So if you're one of those people, just reach out again and we'll make sure that that happens for you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much to Laura H.
Laura. Ha 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 ha. She says that to you when you tell her that she can't do what she wants because she can. If you go to Laura and say, Laura, I don't think you're gonna be able to achieve that. She just looks at you and says, ha, 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 ha.
I love that.
I do too. I'm actually like, as I'm saying it, I'm like, that's the mantra for the day.
Fuck yes, it is.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to Araceli L.
Oh, come on. Sometimes people get to be named like an aquatic goddess or something. Right?
Yes.
Like sometimes you just be born and your name is Araceli and everybody knows that that's like a song lyric, like the sound, you know, it's like an onomatopoeia of like a fragrance on the wind.
Yes.
You know, like that's what, that would be the name for when you like walk past a lilac bush and it, you smell it on the spring breeze. Like that's like, that would be the definition of Araceli.
Yes.
If I were to define, you know, they're like, What is the experience of when you wake up in the morning on a summer day and the breeze is coming through the window and the birds are chirping and like somebody's started the coffee in the other room and you're like, oh, that's an Araceli. Yeah, that's, yes, it is. That's exactly what that is.
100%. Yeah.
God.
I know. All of these amazing
body
names.
Body must rule.
Body totally rules.
You know?
Yes.
Just like this ethereal sort of perfection, just beauty, and you smell good. I can just tell.
You know, it's who's, do you know who else smells good?
Tell me.
Thank you so much to Emily Eagle R.
Scraw. That's what Sadie and I say. Eagle sounds scraw. Scree. Scraw.
I think I heard this the other day that they use the scraw sounds for an eagle, like in movies, but that's actually a hawk. And eagles sound more like quack, 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 quack.
Oh, well, that changes things.
So here to hear first, folks.
Emily Eagle R.
Yeah.
Yeah. Emily Eagles are majestic. Emily Eagles are wild, free. Emily Eagles are powerful, untethered. Emily Eagles are inspirational. Emily Eagles are good community members. I feel like eagles are probably good community members. Right?
I don't think so. I think they fuck everything up. I think they just tear through things
right.
with their talons.
Yeah. So Emily Eagles are fucker uppers of the things that need to get fucked up.
Yep.
Good point. Yeah, yes, Emily Eagles, you are a fucker upper of what needs to get fucked up.
Yep. I think they do whatever they want to.
Yes.
Yes.
Good point. Great.
Yep. Now I'm picturing like an eagle with a top hat and like, oh, how do you do, sir? I'm going to help you across the street. He has a cane now, too.
Well, I just figured that, and it kind of does fall in line with that like eagles probably take good care of what eagles need to take care of.
Yeah.
I don't know what eagles' responsibilities are on the day to day.
Eating
but
fish.
I feel like,
fucking shit up.
Yeah.
Probably building good parents.
Kick ass nests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen those nests? They're huge.
They're huge. So Emily Eagles are all of those things.
Yes. Thank you so much to Stephanie F.
Stephanie. Finally. She's finally here. She's finally found what she's been looking for. She's finally entered into the phase of financial and fanciful freedoms of the future. Finally, she's found what she's been looking for, and it's there, and it is better than she could have ever imagined.
Yes. I'm ready to go to bed now.
Yes.
That's very relaxing.
Let's do one more.
Okay. Last but certainly not least, thank you so much to Emily W.
Emily, why do you never know how much you mean to everyone? Why do you never know that everyone is looking at you with the heart eyes emojis on their faces and the love in their hearts and the songs in their minds and also the beauty of the world is upon you and they all are looking at it and they enjoy it and they want to rejoice in everything you are and I hope you know that's true.
Oh, we love you guys so much, all of y'all.
Yeah,
so much.
Yeah, you make us cry. So yeah, stop it.
Stop I have it. To, get off my back.
I have a whole day ahead of me. I have to go to work now. My other work that I slowly will be able to not do anymore, yes, thanks to you.
Yep, and we do. We have a bunch more shout outs to get to, so just be patient.
Yep.
We're almost through June, so we're getting there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's no problem.
Yeah.
No problem. No problem. And in the meantime, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube at They Will Kill. And go to our website, theywillkill.com. You can email us at theywillkillpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and continue to write, review, subscribe.
Yeah, write, and review.
We've had some of the nicest.
Yes. Like
the nicest reviews we've had ever.
Yeah. And I've said this, I say this every time, but it is hard to do this and people are critical and they come down on you and you try to like not let it bother you, but it is a lot of mental and emotional work to put yourself out there, like we mentioned before. So when we get those reviews, you guys, it is a fucking game changer.
Yes.
It is truly like puts a pep in my step. Mm-hmm. It makes me want to keep doing
I think multiple occasions, those positive reviews has been the ticket for us to continue. Honestly.
No, but, I mean, honest yes. to God. Yes.
When we
honestly.
Get that feedback and we think, okay, yeah. when you start to feel like you're not making a difference or it doesn't matter mm-hmm. anymore, and then mm-hmm. somebody comes in and tells you it does, it's like, okay, we need to continue. So thank you for that. We got a bunch of those this week and it makes such a difference.
Really does. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, AJ Bergens, for your music.
Yeah, you guys are great. Him, he is, and his family. you guys, like AJ's multiple people now. You know, A and J.
Contains
you guys
multitudes.
Decide what that means. And remember,
stay stupid and get caught. All of you out there considering crimes, stay stupid, get caught. Yes. Unless they're crimes where like you're just hungry and you want to steal food.
Well, then just let us know and we will help you do that.
Yeah. So don't do those crimes. Just let us know. We'll give you a couple bucks to steal it. But I'm just saying those crimes aren't stupid. Those crimes are justifiable.
Needed. Yes.
Yeah. But also, like, instead of doing crimes, maybe we can just do a better system.
Yeah. Where the food is
available.
So then
people are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But those of you who are considering taking lives of other people,
definitely
I hope you do it in the dumbest possible way.
Hopefully it's so dumb that you cannot do it.
Yes, bungle it. Yes. That's even better. Yeah, bungle those attempts.
Yeah, whoa. Oops.
Yeah, fell and over. In a way that like doesn't super traumatize the person.
Yeah, they don't even know that they escaped with their lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Best case scenario.
Fall into a cow pasture.
Yes, please.
Whoa. You know, like off. Whoa.
Done.
I just hit my head. I just mind falling into
Courtney.
A and slammed my head against the wall. Think it's time to wrap up.
Yeah, don't give yourself a TBI, y'all.
Oh my God. Unless you're considering taking lives.
Yes, do it.
Do it.
Then pretend like you're falling into a cow pasture and lay down and just
no,
take
don't
a nap.
Give yourself a TBI because then you'll become a worse killer. No. Yeah, just fall into a cow pasture and then realize the error of your ways.
Right. And lay there. Look at the clouds.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. We love you. We'll see you real soon.
So much.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.